This Lord's Day and next Sunday, we'll take a break from our study of 2 Corinthians. I always appreciate everyone's flexibility. Never get any blowback on the flexibility issue. That's a great thing. I'm thankful for that. We'll take a break for 2 weeks. We've just finished 2 Corinthians 8. Three very intense and in-depth messages on Christian giving, grace giving. Chapter 9 will continue that same basic train of thought with some of the blessings associated with giving. We'll return there in 3 weeks. But this morning, if you would be so kind and gracious, as we prepare for the Lord's table, I would like to address an issue that has really been pressing the Christian community a lot recently. As we enter into the election season around the country, we have the very important national midterm elections coming up. In many ways, we'll determine policies and politics that affect every person in this room. We've been touched by the local elections as well, many of us. I thought it would be a good time this morning to remind ourselves of God's desire, God's will, God's purpose, God's plan, God's mission for the Christian as we live in a lost world. This is a very important subject. This has been pressing upon every true pastor and every true church around this nation. God has called us to live and minister in a lost world full of lost, sinful people, with godless, God-hating, Christ-hating government everywhere. They hate Christ, they hate the gospel, they hate the church, they hate Christians, they hate the Word of God. They don't even like common sense. Everywhere. This is the world that we live in. A government that is now openly, blatantly, egregiously, without apology, promoting sin, persecuting those who desire to be righteous. This is the world that we live in. This is the world that we have been called to live in, called to work in, called to raise our children in. This is the world we have been called to worship God in, to present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices in. This is the world that God has placed us today. And specifically, this morning, I just want to remind you that, and I'll come back to this in more depth, I promise, next Lord's Day. I just want to remind you as a foreshadowing, Christians through history, and if you've never taken a good, solid, comprehensive course on church history / biblical history, or you've never read a great book on church history, biblical history of the church since the apostles, you can see this in history, how Bible-believing, born-again Christians who love the Lord Jesus have lived, worked, ministered, raised their children with great opposition from the world they live in, the government. Specifically this morning, we're going to prepare for the Lord's table. And I want to read a letter that was written and sent to the governor of California, Gavin Newsom. And there's so much in this letter that we can glean and learn from related to how, beloved, you and I, how we can address the culture that we live in. Now, the fair and important addendum and footnote is, I can write a letter, you can write a letter. We're not going to have a national audience. You're not going to. You can write 100 letters to 100 governors, politicians, senators, the president. No one's going to read, no one's going to care about what you say. I get it. I'm in the same boat with you. We don't have a national audience today. But it's very interesting. If you study godly leaders through church history, this has been the model of the generational leaders of history, going all the way back to the Old Testament prophets and moving into the New Covenant as well. God's national leaders, going back to these great heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, they have always spoken openly, without fear, related to the sin of the leaders of their land. And it's not for a censorious purpose. It's not for some petty, judgmental, argumentative purpose of winning an argument. No. It's for the purpose, it's for the goal of bringing sinful men to repentance and faith in Christ. This is the goal, beloved, that sinners come to repentance and faith in Christ. You think about the Old Testament with me. You think about the book of Isaiah. You think of the book of Jeremiah. You think of the prophet Elijah. You think of Noah. You think of the Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets, the men of God of old in the Old Testament. They all did this. They confronted the sinful leaders in their world. You move into the New Testament. Post-apostles. Of course, the apostles did this, but you move forward, Augustine, Luther, Calvin, John Knox. In our day, in our lifetime, in our time, the generational leader, you may not know this, but again, if this is an important footnote. If you study church history and you go back post-apostles, starting with the first century moving forward, even to this morning, there has been a generational leader in every century that God has raised up. And it's not someone like Pastor Bob that has a church of 50 people. It's a generational leader that will be written about in the historical theology books that have influenced a whole nation of Christians. A John Knox, a Luther, a Calvin. In our day, the generational leader of the last 100 years is John MacArthur. He has influenced countless men of God in pulpits across this country who are preaching the word. He is the main influence of the last 50 years related to expository preaching in this land. And not just preaching, but raising up leaders and preachers to go out and carry the torch after he passes on and goes to heaven. And I'm going to read this letter that John MacArthur has written to Gavin Newsom. It's just a brief letter. But this will give us an example of how godly men have responded to godless leaders through the centuries. When I read this, I trembled with tears. And I hope I can get through this without ruining it by my own emotion. And if you haven't, I suppose in a group this size, probably half or more of you have already looked at this and read this. And if you haven't, this will be a great day for you to see what a man of God looks like in a godless world. This was written on September 29th, 2022. And I'm just going to read this. It's not long. And then I'll make a few comments and then we'll take the Lord's table. I can't imagine anything that would prepare us for the Lord's table better than this letter. This was dated September 29th, 2022, written to Governor Gavin Newsom in Sacramento, California. Sir, Almighty God says in His Word, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people, Proverbs 14:34. Scripture also teaches that it is the chief duty of any civic leader to reward those who do well and to punish evildoers, Romans 13:1-7. You have not only failed in that responsibility, you routinely turn it on its head, rewarding evildoers and punishing the righteous. The Word of God pronounces judgment on those who call evil good and good evil, Isaiah 5:20. And yet many of your policies reflect this unholy upside-down view of honor and morality. The diabolical effects of your worldview are evident in the statistics of California's epidemic of crime, homelessness, sexual perversion, homosexuality, transgenderism, and other malignant expressions of human misery that stem directly from corrupt public policy. I don't need to itemize or elaborate on the many immoral decisions you have perpetrated against God and the people of our state, which have only exacerbated these problems. Nevertheless, my goal in writing is not to contend with your politics, but rather to plead with you, to hear, to heed the Word of God, to what it says to men in your position. Let all kings bow down before him, all nations serve him. Psalm 72:11. He who rules over men righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is as the light of the morning when the sun rises, 2 Samuel 23:3-4. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness, Proverbs 16:12. What God said to Cyrus is a truth you should take to heart. I am the Lord. There is no other. Beside me there is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me. I am the Lord. There is no other. Isaiah 45:5-6. In mid-September, you reveal to the entire nation how thoroughly rebellious against God you are when you sponsored billboards across America promoting the slaughter of children whom he creates in the womb, Psalm 139, Isaiah 45. You further compounded the wickedness of that murderous campaign with a reprehensible act of gross blasphemy, quoting the very words of Jesus from Mark 12:31, as if you could somehow twist his meaning and arrogate his name in favor of butchering unborn infants. You use the name and the words of Christ to promote the credo of Molech, Leviticus 20. It would be hard to imagine a greater sacrilege. Furthermore, you chose words from the lips of Jesus without admitting that in the same moment he gave the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, Mark 12:30. You cannot love God as he commands while abiding in the murder of his image bearers. Psalm 50, verses 16 through 19, speaks to people who pervert the word of God for their own sinful end. But to the wicked, God says, "What right have you to recount my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and you harness your tongue for deceit." My concern, Governor Newsom, is that your own soul lies in grave eternal peril. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God, Romans 14:12. One day, not very long from now, you will face that reality. Nothing is more certain. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, Hebrews 9:27. You will stand in the presence of the holy God who created you, who is your judge, and he will demand that you give an account of how you have flouted his authority in your governing, and how you have twisted his own holy word to rationalize it. As you look over the precipice of eternity, what will you answer? When you look ahead and you see that nothing awaits but eternal misery, the just punishment for your sins, what will all the clever rationalizations and political talking points avail for you? And by then it will be too late for any remedy or redemption. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. My plea to you, sir, is that you would not let it come to that. That you would not go to that day of judgment apart from receiving forgiveness and righteousness through faith in Christ alone. In Psalm 50, after rebuking the wicked for uttering God's words in a profane way, Scripture makes this promise: "Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you into pieces, and there will be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me, and he who orders his way, I shall show the way of salvation of God." So there is salvation for those who repent. Christ purchased full redemption for all who will turn from wickedness, forsake their evil thoughts and actions, and trust fully in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our church and countless Christians nationwide are praying for your full repentance. Please respond to the gospel. Forsake the path of wickedness you have pursued all your life. Turn to Christ. Ask for forgiveness. Use your office to advance the cause of righteousness, as is your duty, instead of undermining it, as has been your pattern. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:6-7. Governor Newsom, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Signs the letter for the master, John MacArthur. That is how a godly generational leader responds to a godless government. And beloved, before we partake of the Lord's table, I just want to make a comment or two, and then we'll partake together. It's very easy in the political season to look at these godless men like Governor Newsom, who is literally inspired by Satan, to look at these men like him and these others across the land. It's very easy to look at them and to forget the sins that we have committed, the sins that God has forgiven us from, the grace of God that has been given to me, the chief of sinners. And God is still at work in the world, saving sinners. And you have in this room how many trophies of God's grace, where God has worked and been patient, where God has called us to Him. We would have never come. We would have never repented. We would have never believed apart from God's effectual call and drawing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's just so easy to forget that America is not our country. Heaven is our country. This world is not our home. Heaven is our home. It's so easy to forget that politics and policies and the economy are not the Savior. Politicians and presidents are not the Savior. Christ alone is Lord and Savior. And it's okay and it's right and it's good to be involved and to want a better economy and freedom and to desire godless men to be silenced and godly men to have a place. That is right and that is good. And we understand that. But let us not forget, as God's people, the prize. The prize, beloved, is not anything this world has to offer me. The prize is the glory of God in heaven. This is what we long for. This is what we wait for. This is why we minister. For the prize of heaven. And while we wait, we do our part. We pray and we proclaim. We evangelize, we serve, we worship, we give, we love. But ultimately we understand, amen, that God is sovereign and God is in control. I hope every single believer in every single church hears that and believes that in this election cycle. Whether our cause wins the election or loses the election, whether our candidate wins or loses, believe with me that God is in control and God is sovereign. God has a purpose for you, for your loved ones, for this nation. He is in charge of the future. God holds the future, not the politicians, not the policies, not the politics. And that letter was so moving to me because what you don't know, or maybe you do, I apologize if you do, I'm not trying to be condescending, but part of the backstory of that letter is how Governor Newsom personally, vitriolically, actively attacked Grace Community Church, singled them out of thousands and tens of thousands of churches in Los Angeles and in that state. He singled that church out to try to stop them, silence them, disband them. He didn't win. He lost that fight. Because no politician will ever win the fight against God's church and God's believers. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, bless the message that we've just received, all of the many scriptures that have been read. Bless the reading of your word from these scriptures, and let us remember that now is the day of salvation, not only for these lawless politicians, but for each one in this room, if there's one who's yet to be born again, young or old. Judgment is real. Judgment is certain. Impress that upon each heart, dear God, and let them fly and flee to Christ and say, God, I confess my sins. I acknowledge my sins. I turn to Jesus in faith, believing in his perfect life, his shed blood, his death, and his resurrection. Let it be so, dear God. Bear great fruit. And we do pray together for the governor, for Governor Newsom. Pray that he would be born again, that you would do that miracle, and that many others in the political arena would come to their senses through a Holy Spirit reckoning, and they would repent and believe the gospel. And we do pray, dear God, in your mercy and your grace, that you would revive this nation according to your word, that you would revive your church according to your word, and that you would revive this church, dear God, according to your word. Prepare us now as we prepare for the Lord's table. Prepare each heart. In Jesus' name, amen.